all adults in this place and borderline adults need to hear what I'm going to be preaching. This is something that God dealt with me very strongly on. My wife and I, just our family, just kind of dedicated this whole weekend to church. We've been in church Friday night, Saturday, and now today. Brother and Sister Jean's had their installation service in Albion, so we were over there with them on Friday night and heard a very powerful message on cause and effect on Friday night, and back there yesterday, most of the day, for about a 3.5 hour long service. It's been a long time since we've probably been in a service that long, but we were in a long service and the power of God was there. But I came away strengthened. I came away, I told my wife, I said, I'm tired, but I feel good in the Holy Ghost. I feel like God gave me direction. I feel like God gave me some strength. And we are going to Isaiah chapter number 9, verses 1 through 5. That's where we are going. I want to give some clarification. Also, Brother and Sister Smith, if you have not got to meet Brother and Sister Smith, some of you maybe not know them yet. Most of you do. Brother and Sister Smith, they're not here today. We need to pray. Their daughter has a pet snake that got loose in the house, and they can't find it. So we are praying that God will help them find that snake in that house, in Jesus' name. If you have not met them, you really need to meet them. But we need to pray that they'll find that snake. But we have had some growth. We've had some things that are coming to pass. And we are moving into a phase of revival that I think is going to be a surprising factor to some of us. And I know it's hard sometimes for us to see in the future. But I believe God is setting us up specifically in a perfect area in order to take us to the next level. And God has surrounded my wife and I with a group of people that are solid. They are sold out. They're dedicated. They are people that are willing to give of themselves countless hours, times, efforts, money, energy to see the cause of Christ go forward. But I want to preach something to us today a concept for us to go to the next level we have to understand. Isaiah chapter number 9, verses 1 through 5 reads like this. It says, "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, that at the first light afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations." Now, most of you are probably saying, huh? That didn't make much sense to you probably up till this point. "The people that walked in darkness have seen a what? A great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation," notice this, "and not increased the joy." Did you catch that? You grew, but you really didn't expand in your joy. "The joy before thee according to the joy in the harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil." He said the joy was as if it was conquering and gaining, and the excess was divided amongst yourselves. But what he's saying is, that's really not the joy I'm talking about. "For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused," what? "Noise. And garments rolled in" what? "And garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of" what? "Fire." Can we pray that God would help me as I preach this message today called Fighting Fire with Fire? Heavenly Father, as we come before you right now, I'm asking you to help our minds to comprehend what you're trying to teach us today, and help me to do a good job for you, to be able to deliver it to the best of my abilities and with your strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Fire is a tool that's been used for probably, I don't know the exact amount, but from generations back, as far as we could, two men learn to hit a rock and cause a spark, or rub two sticks together, however you want to look at it. But fire was something that was very valuable. Fire was used to give light. Fire was used to give warmth. Fire is used to give energy. Fire can be used as a tool. Fire can be used as an asset. Every single car that drives up and down the road is using a form of fuel and fire in order to cause that thing to drive. There are every little aspect of our lives causes fire. The electricity that is fueling the lights that are in this building today, if you look at the minimum, the little part element between the two little positive and negatives, between those is actually a form of energy or fire. They're actually in what's bringing this electric to our facility here today. The source of that way back is using some sort of fire in the process of getting it to develop. Fire, whether you do realize it or not, can actually give off an element of electricity. Did you know fire is actually conductive? Meaning, when you are take a fire, and if you have a in my world, I can actually take a meter on my job, and I can read current through that flame. It actually takes a ground, and it actually sends a signal that monitors, that goes up and through that flame, back through a rod and back to a ground. And if that furnace or that piece of appliance ever senses that that flame is no longer there, it'll shut it down. There doesn't even have to be a wire, but the fire itself can transfer a current through that fire in order to establish a circuit. Most people would never even think that you mean actually inside a flame, it's conductive, and meaning it can transfer the energy from one point to another. Yes, and just as real as you can do it with natural fire, you can do it with spiritual fire. Just as real in the natural flame, you can see a current. There's a current when the Holy Ghost reaches down through an apostolic filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, and it can transfer power, it can transfer authority, and it can transfer things that you didn't generate on your own. It didn't come just from something inside yourself, but we are a living conduit of the Holy Ghost to reach in to transform the world of lives in this world that we are connected with here today. The problem is we have a tendency to want to go through life and we want to fight the battles ourselves. There is something about understanding the rules of war. War is not a pretty thing. War should never really have to be fought, but wars do have to be fought. There are times that we have no choice. When those airplanes flew over the ocean and started sinking ships in Hawaii that day, we had no choice. We had to go to war. In the day that we dropped the bomb on Hiroshima to finally end the war, I can guarantee you the generals and the president that had to make the ultimate decision, knowing the destruction and the death that was going to come as that atomic bomb went off that day. He probably couldn't sleep the night before. Why? Because he knew the minute they made that decision, there was death, there was destruction, there was going to things come to pass. There were ramifications of making that decision. But he felt there was no other way out. There was no choice. He had to pull the trigger. When you have a war, there's ramifications of that war. There was areas in that country that probably still affected by the chemicals that were in that bomb. There was life things that were affected. Skin of people were affected. There was death. There was destruction. And then this scripture, the Bible, was talking about how when you're actually in war, when you're actually fighting a battle, when you're actually going in to a battle, it says, for every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. You see, when those bombs start going off, when the battle takes place, I don't know if you've ever been to some of the Civil War sites, but as a young man, as a child, we went to Shiloh, which is down by Mississippi area, and we were watching some of the reenactment films and some of the history behind that battle and how that the two North and the South would run at each other. And one of the elements of warfare was to cause chaos, to scream and holler and clang things together. And the roar of a battle was just almost to the point you didn't know who you were fighting, left or right. And the number of casualties that were often caused by their own people upon their own people, not realizing that that's who it was, but they were fighting and trying to bring something to pass, to save a nation, if you will, in that time frame. But it was chaos, it was turmoil, and it was confusion. And the historians say the amount of blood that was shed on those battlefields, it was just absolutely enormous. Just the number of bodies that was strewn, it was not a pretty sight. It was not a glorious sight, but it was brutal. It was ugly. And I've got news for you. When you try taking this battle on yourself, when you try fighting this thing on your own, in a normal case of battle, it's going to be ugly. It's going to be confusion. And you wonder why your family's in a turmoil mess. You wonder why jobs are upside down and everything's going on around you. And it just seems like you lay your head down on your pillow at night. And it's confusion. Where do I turn? What do I do? What do I have to cling to? Where do I go? How do I get clear direction in all of this? It's chaos. But my Bible says along with the chaos comes the ramifications of that chaos. The Bible described it as blood-dipped garments. The casualties of the chaos. You say, what do you mean by that? What I mean by that is the children that are in misplaced homes, the children that come out of broken families, the children and the broken marriages that come out of that. And now all of a sudden you have families that are separated. You have children that have ill will towards other new wives and broken homes and marriages. And now all of a sudden families don't speak to each other. Children don't speak to each other. And you say, what do you mean, preacher? What I mean is this world and the casualties of this world are a ramification of living in darkness and trying to figure out a way to fight those battles on your own. And when you use your own wisdom, you use your own knowledge, it doesn't come out a pretty picture. It doesn't come out right. But they said there's going to come a day when you really come into the light. The battle is not yours, but the battle is his. When you allow him to fight the battle for you and you come at the devil, you see, the devil has learned if he can keep you entangled in fighting the battle yourself, he can keep you distracted from the real thing that you should be doing. When you're trying to do it on your own, Brother Smith, can you help me with the lights back there? I know. Turn those lights off for me. You see, we want to go through life and we want to try to fight our battles with just a little light. We want a little bit of Jesus, and then we want to figure out our own way. You see, the only way you can really win this battle is when you are allowing God to fight your battle for you. You see, with these lights off, it's very hard sometimes to see the real surroundings of what's really going on. You know what this represents? This represents a little bit of God and a whole lot of me. This represents a little dabble of God, a little bit of sense of church. So I have a little bit of sense of direction. I kind of know the right way, but I really don't know the path. I just know that I'm kind of supposed to be going that way. And now I'm going to navigate it the best I can on my own. And let me tell you, when you do that, the devil is going to be at every turn. And he's going to be raising up his head. He's going to fight you with everything he can. Why? Because he knows you really don't know the key success to winning this battle. And if he can keep you in darkness and have a little bit of light, that's the best place the devil can keep you. Just a touch of God, but never really sold out, never really committed to the cause of Christ. You see, when you can you flip the lights back on for me, brother? You see, when you really get sold out with God, you can see things as they really are. You're not stumbling over the rubble and the things, but now you get a clear picture of who that little rotten devil really is, and you get a clear picture of how you can defeat him. Why? Because now you're walking in the light. You're living in the light. You've illuminated everything around you. You can see the world for what it really is. You can see the destruction for what it really is. It's not a pretty picture. But you see, when you are living and walking in Christ, the Bible said you have a power to overcome the things that will fight you in this world. We fight principalities. We're fighting the powers of this world. There's forces. I know it seems far-fetched for some people, and you hear a lot of sci-fi stuff about undercurrents and all this stuff. And I was listening to the radio the other night. I don't remember where we were at. Maybe it was coming home from Albion, and it was probably 1:30 in the morning by the time we got clear back here. From clear over there on Friday night, and I picked up my service van, and I had 95.3 on, and they had they were interviewing some lady that had went to the afterlife. She'd experienced what God really was, and she was trying to tell all of this undercurrent stuff and how she suspended between heaven and earth, and she saw things, and God really wasn't God. It made me sick to my stomach, because I finally just had to turn it off and say, you've got to be kidding me. This is a bunch of baloney. But what you must realize, the world is taking something that is real. The world is taking something that does exist. Your Bible says we fight and we wrestle against principalities and powers. There are things that want to destroy your soul. Brother Joey, there are powers of this world in the underworld of darkness that wants to snuff you out spiritually and physically. They really do exist. But if the world can keep you sidetracked on some goofy, far-out stuff, you'll miss the real mark. Because you see, the God that we serve has given us the power to overcome the forces of darkness. That we don't have to live in the dark anymore. We can expose the devil for the liar that he really is. We can let this world know that they don't have to live that way. We can let this world know that they don't have to be in bondage. And you know what? If the devil can keep you with just a little bit of light, he keeps them in darkness. But you see, when real truth starts speaking, not only do you have enough light to illuminate you, but now you have enough light to illuminate those around you. Now those around you can see the devil for what he really is. And the devil can't hold them anymore. Why? Because now they can see what it is to really be exposed to the lies of the devil. You say, what do you mean, preacher? What I mean is, with this little light, that little light really doesn't consume the things that we need. You know the best way to fight a fire? Is before the fire ever starts. You say, what do you mean? There's something, and those of you that live in the country know what I'm talking about. The way you prevent fires from happening on your property is you keep all the underbrush and all the under junk burned off ahead of time, where it's a contained fire, where you can contain that. And you clear all that rubble out and you let it burn off and you protect that. But you let something that's built up over years, over time, and you let the Smoky Mountains for instance, and you let that rubble that's been letting go for years and years and no contained fires to help clean it up, and you let one little spark get in there, and you know what? You'll spark off a forest fire that'll destroy everything around it, including every life around it, and it's a mess. But you know what? When you take and you prevent those forest fires by making sure you keep it clean, you keep things cleaned out, you let the underbrush, you let that stuff be cleaned up around it. I was lighting last summer when we had our son's graduation, I cleared a bunch of property and I piled a bunch of stuff up that I was going to burn, but it was too green, it wouldn't burn, so I had to just put it in one big pile and allow it to sit for a year. And this spring I decided I was going to go out there and I was going to light that thing on fire after it had sat all summer last summer, and then all winter, and all that dead grass was under there, and all of that tinder was under there, and no doubt there was probably a few critters living under there, and I went out there with my little Bic lighter thing, little stick lighter thing, and I started lighting little points all around that thing. And you know what happened when it started raging? It was a raging fire. It came to the point that I had to run to the house as fast as I could. I'd stomped as much out around it as I possibly could. And what looked like would just be a normal fire, I was running to the house and getting a bucket, running to the pond and dumping water, running back to the pond and dumping water, running back to the pond and dumping water. Why? Because I let it go too long, and there was so much brush around that, it was starting to consume other areas that I didn't want it consumed. You see, the power of the Holy Ghost, if you will live for God and let the little things stay consumed in your life and protect yourself, when the devil comes by and he says, I'm going to start a little mess in their world, and he lights a little fire, and a little fire here, around here, and around here. You know what? If there's not a bunch of junk contaminating our lives, those are easy to put out. If I hadn't had all that underbrush, I could have walked over real easy in one little spark and said, boop, done. Boop, that's it. But no, you let all that stuff start to grow in your life. And you know what's going to happen? The devil comes by and he says, oh, I think I'll start a little fire here, and a little fire here, and a little fire here. And you know what? You're trying to put fires out every part of your life, every area of your life, and you become overwhelmed. And you know what? What should have been just one little spark of the devil that you could contain and say, sorry, I'm protected. No, now it becomes a raging fire, and now it's a consuming fire, and now he's got you so overwhelmed that you just want to throw in the towel and say, just let it burn. As I watched that fire, I knew if I let it go, the wind was blowing the right direction. It would have just went to the driveway and probably not gotten past the driveway. And you know, there was a few moments, Brother Payne, I thought, that's just a few trees. I'm about to kill myself out here running back and forth trying to put all this fire out. It crossed my mind. Just let it go. I was exhausted. I'd breathed enough smoke. My throat was hoarse and sore. My body just couldn't hardly pick up another 5-gallon bucket and run with it, as I'd ran so many and I'd stomped so many out. It crossed my mind just to let it go. Just the same as the devil does to your life. If you don't keep, hear me, young people, if you don't keep those little things cleared out of your life, and the junk that the devil wants to slip in a little bit at a time, and a little bit at a time, and those little thoughts, and those little attitudes, and that little bit of rebellion, and those little carnal thoughts, and those little things that the devil wants to entice you and pull you, and you think, well, it's just a little bit of stuff. I can manage this. I can maintain this in my life, and I can still go to church on Sunday, and I can still worship. I can still feel the joy of the Lord. You know what you're doing? I've got a little light. And as long as I have that little light, you know what? And this is exactly what happens. After a while, you have no light. You've snuffed it out. And you know what the devil says then? Hey, looky there. I think I'll go start a few more fires. And if I start enough fires in their life, you know what they'll do? What's the use? I'll just throw in the towel. There's no business even going to church anymore. I'll just live for the devil because it's overwhelmed me. It's consumed me. And you say, what do you mean, preacher? I'm just telling you, the only way you can really fight fire is with fire. You use that fire in advance and say, devil, you're not going to build this junk up in my life. You know what, devil? Here, try this one on. Shh. I'm going to burn that out of my life. And the devil says, well, I'll start one over here. And you say, no, you won't. I'm going to light three fires around that one and burn that off. Now, devil, there is nothing in your life, in my life, that you can come in that's going to overwhelm me, because now it's manageable. I have the Holy Ghost fire living inside of me that can protect me and keep me now. You can't get me overwhelmed when I've got my heart and my mind right with God and living for God and under the protection in the under umbrella of God, in the Holy Ghost and fire. You see, you become untouchable to the devil. Did not the devil have to go get permission for Job? In every stage. But Job had protected himself through what? The Bible said Job was a righteous man. Does not the Bible say the righteous run into and are saved? Reference after reference. This is what this world... Now, I'm gonna step on some toes here now. Just walk with me and just don't scream out that it hurts when I say it, all right? But the reality is, this world, in its casual living and casual thinking that they call church, that they think they can just live however they want and do whatever they want. And they look at us apostolic Pentecostals and say, well, they can't do this and they can't do that and all that junk. I've got news for you. There's a reason... When it all comes crashing down, there's a lot of them not going to be standing when it comes rapture time. Why? Because they've allowed so much junk. I don't believe the Word of God talks about righteous living over and over and over and over again. If that was just talking about the heart, it was talking about keeping the junk out of your life, keeping your mind protected, keeping your body protected, keeping your spirit protected. And you know what? We can go through life and say it doesn't matter, or we can look into the eyes of God and say, yes, it does, because it might not hurt me now, but you put 10 of these in my life, and now all of a sudden, it's not manageable anymore. I can't handle this. I become overwhelmed. The only way you're going to really defeat the devil is at an old-fashioned altar and put some things down and say, God, I need you to purge this junk from my life. I need an old-fashioned anointing. I need some things in my life to be separated and purged. And you know what the Bible says? When you really get in the fire of the Holy Ghost, it's a purifying fire. It's a purging fire. All the elements and the things of this world start to bubble to the top and be exposed for what they are. And you know what the Bible says? We become tried by the fire. And we will come out as pure as gold. You'll come out something that you went in that you weren't. And now all of a sudden, you're a vessel that's held, as the Bible said. Now it's a vessel of honor to be used for the glory of God. Sometimes we get so comfortable around sin, and we don't call sin for what sin really is. And we want to hold it like our little pet. But that little pet eventually grows up. There's a reason they're looking around a room for a snake. Those little pets grow up. They become something we don't want to be around anymore. the story of a snake that the man wanted to just help him carry it across the river. Just carry me across the river. It's cold over here. Just carry me across the river. Finally, the snake convinced him to carry him across the river. He said, but it's, we are on the horse, it's kind of cold, and can you just put me in your coat where I can stay a little warm? Finally, he put the snake in his coat. Finally got to the other side. He said, well, Mr. Snake, this is as far as you come. He went to pull the snake out of his coat, and the snake bit him. He said, Mr. Snake, why'd you do that? Why did you bite me after I showed you kindness? He said, you knew I was a snake when you picked me up. I'm still a snake. There is some stuff in our lives that if we allow to carry it long enough, it will destroy us. And the only way you can fight those things is with fire, with fire. You've got to burn those things spiritually out of your mind. You've got to sear those thoughts out of your mind. You've got to allow God to purge those things. You know, so the beautiful thing about a fire is when it's consumed, it's gone. You say, what do you mean, preacher? The consuming fire of God allows forgiveness to purge us, that God no longer recognizes it for what it was. He doesn't see it anymore. It's gone. That's the beautiful thing about a fire. When you allow the Holy Ghost and fire purge you of some things in your life, then you are allowing God to say, you know what? I don't recognize you as the sinner that you once were. Now all I see is a pure, clean conscience. Now all I see, you may remember it, but honey, I've got news for you. God does not remember that anymore. The devil will knock on your door and say, remember what you were? Remember what you were? But when you look into the eyes of Jesus Christ, he says, I don't know what you're talking about. All I see is purified gold. All I see is a purified life. They've been washed in my blood. And not only washed in my blood, they've been seared with my power. They've been purged. And now they're a living flame that's living out my life to this world. Because they are my body. Because we are the body of Christ. Give me a few more minutes. When the devil starts attacking our families, the devil starts attacking our homes, when the devil starts attacking our vision, when the devil starts attacking our will to be able to do what God, when the devil starts attacking our ministries, when the devil starts attacking our saints, when the devil starts attacking our health, when the devil starts attacking our jobs, when the devil starts attacking our vehicles and the things that God has blessed us with, you know what? There's only one thing we can fight back to that devil with, and that's with red hot apostolic Holy Ghost anointing fire. When the devil starts shaking our world, you say, you know what, devil? You know what, over there I see some stubble. Let me light a fire here. Let me light a fire there. You know what? The devil will say, goodness gracious, there's so many backslidden children coming to church. They've done burned so much off and exposed me so much. I think I'll find a new town to mess with. I think I'll just get out of here for right now. Why? Because we start letting the devil know we're not going to lay down and take it. We're going to raise up our head in the spirit and the anointing of God. And we aren't fighting it with fists. We aren't fighting it with guns. But we're fighting fire with fire. And you know what? The devil can't even compete in that kind of world because he knows that's the very thing he's running from. Why do you think he spreads it around us? Because he knows that's his future. And if you really want to make the devil nervous, start lighting some Holy Ghost fires around your family. Start lighting some Holy Ghost prayer meetings around your home. Start lighting some Holy Ghost notes on your kids' bathroom or bedroom windows or beds under their pillows that says, "Now, I need the anointing of God to protect my child today. I need the anointing of God." You know what? Do a drive by the kid's house. They may think you're spying on them, but you know, Sister Latrell, you can go by and say, "I plead the blood of Jesus over this home in Jesus' name." You know what? If the devil can do drive-bys, so can apostolic saints that says you aren't going to control that home anymore. When we come into this city, come into church, and the devil says, "I control this city." I believe we can come into this city and say, "You know what? I plead the blood over this city. Devil, you don't control this city anymore." You know what that does? That sends shockwaves through the elements of that supernatural power that we were talking about. Because when you utter in the name of Jesus Christ, things begin to change. You know what it does? It sends out waves of the Holy Ghost. You know why? Because current can run through that fire. And you know it's not just any current, but that's Holy Ghost current. And when you're sending out that fire and you're sending out that Holy Ghost current into this world, there is effects. It begins to happen in this city and in your families. Let's all stand. You see, when you're fighting fire with fire, we stopped at verse number 5 in our reading today. And it said, "For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, pain and misery and destruction, and the stench of death." He said, "But this shall be burning and a fuel of fire." The next verse says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon the kingdom to order it, to establish with judgment and with justice from henceforth for even forever. The zeal of the Lord, the host, will perform this." The writer of the book of Isaiah says there's going to come a day, Israel, that the battle won't be yours anymore. "But the battle is mine, saith the Lord." He's the king. He has the authority. When you're writing that Holy Ghost check, that do you think, I just don't see that child ever being saved. I just don't see this happening. You know what? When you're signing that check, you ain't signing it in your own name. You're signing it in his name. And he's the one that created this world. He's the one that made things into existence, spoke things into existence. And when you are speaking things in the name of Jesus, you are speaking out his word in faith. And you are allowing him to reach the elements that you can't reach. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed. The problem that we have when we try to fight our own battle is we gain ground, but we lose joy. We enjoy getting a new car because we decided to work 7 days a week. But when we start missing church, we find out that car didn't bring us the joy that we thought we were going to get. And you increase with goods, but you lose in joy. When you should be going forward, you start to go backwards. But I've come here to tell you in the Holy Ghost here today as a pastor, and I don't usually preach this hard, I believe God came with a distinct message for this church here today to tell us if we are going to go to the next level. If we are going to go to the next level, it's going to come when we start fighting fire with fire. When we start putting things in the Holy Ghost and we start speaking things in faith and we start pushing things in the Holy Ghost beyond our comfort zone and we start reaching into hell and start taking back some things that the devil has stolen from us. When we start pulling back some things that the devil has taken from us. I don't care if it's children. I don't care if it's joy. I don't care if it's peace. I don't care if it's long suffering. Whatever the devil has stolen from you. Is there anybody that would find a place or come around this altar today and say, devil, you've done bit off more than you can chew. Is there anybody that would gather with me in the front of this place today and say, I am going to fight on a different level starting today. The devil thinks he had me, but it's not over yet. I wonder if there's anybody that would come around this front and commit their life to God that says, God, I need you to fight my battles. Is there one? Thank you. Is there anyone else that would come in around this front? Whether you kneel or whether you kneel at your seat. Come on, let's not lose what God spoke into our lives today. But I believe God is igniting something in this place that's going to challenge us. Can we find a place to pray right now? In the name of Jesus, loose something in the Holy Ghost right now. Loose an anointing in this place right now. Let your presence separate things from our lives, God, that we've allowed to grow in around us. Purge me of the old man, God. Purge my life. Purge my thinking, God. Purge my past, God. I want to be consumed by your purifying fire, God. I've started to fight this battle on my own, but I need to lean back into the arms of God. I need to allow the Holy Ghost to fight my battles. The devil has tricked me into thinking I can do this on my own. I can carry this battle on my own. But somehow, God, let somebody recognize in the Holy Ghost if they're ever going to get through this. It's only going to come through your strength and through your power and through the fire of the Holy Ghost. Oh, God. Oh God, rebaptize somebody with the power of the Holy Ghost and fire in this house today. Ignite somebody's thinking. Ignite somebody's life, God, that somehow, God, they get out of this place. They won't think the way they used to think. They won't live the way they used to live. Their life will be transformed. Their thinking will be transformed. The devil won't hold any hold over them anymore. These signs shall follow them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall cast out devils. In Jesus' name, let it be done, God. Let us realize the power that's living inside of us, God. It's not of us, of we ourselves, but of Him that's living inside of us. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. In Jesus' name, let faith be elevated in this house right now, God. Let faith be elevated in the minds, God, in the lives of those that heard this message today. In Jesus' name.
The Holy Ghost. Oh God. I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. Well, I've been loosed. I've
In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Loose things in the Holy Ghost in this place right now, God.
I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
I feel the joy of the Lord.
I'm taking back what the devil stole from me. I'm going to reclaim what's rightfully mine in the Holy Ghost. Everything, every promise that God gave me, I'm claiming it right now. We're taking it back in the power and the authority, not of ourselves, but of He who purchased us with His very own blood. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Every single one that's been through these doors, that's laid away or stepped away, God, we're claiming their souls in the name of Jesus. We're claiming their souls in the name of Jesus. Order their steps. Let them see a shining light sitting on a hill, a place that they can run to, a place of righteousness, a place of purity that they can find for their souls. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Every unsaved loved one that's represented by a family in this place today, we're claiming it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let us see them walk through those doors and be baptized in the power of the Holy Ghost afresh and anew. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Oh God, oh God, bring strength in this house. Bring strength in this house right now, Jesus. Bring strength in this house right now, Jesus. Oh God, oh God, oh God. I feel the spirit of intercessory prayer starting to move through this house right now. Oh God. Come on, lift up somebody in the Holy Ghost right now. They may not have enough strength to pray for themselves. They may have allowed too much to get into the world. But can we lift them up in the Holy Ghost right now? In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let there be some clarity in their mind right now, God. In Jesus' name. Give divine direction in the Holy Ghost right now. In Jesus' name. Let illuminate their path right now. In which way they should choose to go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Oh. Can we wait on the Lord just for a few moments? Some of you need the rest we're experiencing right now in the Holy Ghost. Some of you have been fighting this battle by yourself. Some of you need just to enjoy this moment in the presence of God, to regain a little bit of strength, to regain a little bit of the Spirit right now in Jesus' name. You can't feel this presence just anywhere. It's only in His presence is this fullness of joy. Oh God, He's the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Counselor, the Everlasting Father. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. He and la 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 bossi. Iko shana. Oh, come on, let Him purge you right now in the Holy Ghost. Let Him purify our minds, our spirits in His presence. In His presence, oh God.